Blog Talk Radio.
God bless everyone today. This is Brother Craig from Burning Candlestick Ministries. We got Brother Daniel here from the Body of Christ. You can catch him on Facebook. Today, I want to get right into it because we got a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. I believe, and I truly believe that we are in the last days today, and there's a lot of information out there, a lot of misinformation out there. And I just want to set the record straight or be a part of, you know, what God uses to set the record straight as far as what he says in his word. And so that's what we're about. That's what we do. That's what we discuss, my brothers, here all day long. We want to get right down to the business. Today, the topic we are talking about, the mark, Apollo, the abomination that makes desolate, and you know, let me say this also. I'm not here to be a prophet. I'm not here to be a preacher or anything like that. This is my Bible study, and you all are definitely welcome to participate. If there's something that you can show me, I'm open to listen. So definitely we want to hear your feedback. We're just about the truth. And if you can show us according to the word of God, according to the scriptures, then so be it. Okay, again, we're talking about Apollo. We're talking about the mark of the beast. What does that have to do with Apollo, Apollyon, Abaddon? And what does that have to do with the abomination of desolation? And I think the Bible, if you follow the Bible, you know, the Bible speaks to us in patterns. We see things happen over and over and over again. And this was one of the rebukes from God to Israel in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 4. He rebuked Israel. He said, you know, you people are foolish. You have not even known me. And then he goes back and reference the beginning account where the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void. In other words, the people of Israel, they knew this about God, and still they followed after the same pattern, which caused God to bring a desolation. So we want to get into these things. We want to see what the Bible has to say. And I think it'll be relevant to where we are today because the Bible says that as in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So we ask ourselves, what was going on in the days of Noah? What was happening in the days of Noah that we should be aware of? Was it the marrying and giving in marriage? Certainly there was nothing wrong with marriage in and of itself. So what was he saying? What was the great sin, the great abomination in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, in the days of Noah that caused God to bring a desolation, a type of the abomination of desolation? What was going on in Noah's days? The Bible says that the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. They took them wives, all which they had chose. And that was the abomination that we see that caused God to wipe out the place. And we see that the Bible says this happened before the flood and also after the flood. Let's, as a matter of fact, let's read it in the book of Genesis so that we can read it in context. And also, I got a little something here. My brother Michael here is going to break down something for you guys in just a minute. I'm going to get right to it. And again, we only have 30 minutes here, so we don't have a lot of time to, you know, get into everything. So we're going to have several parts on this. So we're going to give you as much information as we can in this particular broadcast. So if you would, turn to Genesis chapter number 6, and we're going to start at verse number 1. I'm trying to put it up here myself. Give me just a second. Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 1. And it reads, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they had chosen. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of men, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. So we see that there were giants on the earth. Now, this could not have been the product, these giants, of the good sons of Adam and the bad sons of Adam, because they were both human and would not have produced giants. If you take two dogs together, they're not going to produce two domesticated dogs. They're not going to produce a wolf. Not in any terms or sense of the matter. Not without genetic manipulation. They're not. So that could not have been the two seeds. But we see who the sons of God are in the book of Job, chapter number 2, when it says that when the sons of God presented themselves before God, who was there with them? Satan was also there with them, identifying him as being one of the sons of God, spoken of in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. So we see here who the sons of God were, what had taken place here. And the Bible says that as in the days of Noah. Notice also in this chapter, let's read a little bit more, Genesis chapter number 6. It says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, verse 7, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I had made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. God said he was going to destroy both man and beast. Man and beast, because it had corrupted its way before God. So both man and beast, something had happened to both man and beast that caused God to bring a desolation. All right? So that's what I'm seeing here. I'm starting to see a pattern. The first beginning of the pattern was in the book of Genesis chapter number 1, where the Bible said the earth was without form and void. We know from Isaiah chapter number 45 that God did not create the world that way. I believe it's Isaiah 45 and verse 19. We read in Jeremiah chapter number 4 where the Bible says that God goes back. He said, my people are foolish. They have not known me. You can read it for yourself when you have time. Just mark it down. It says that Jeremiah chapter number 4 says that my people are foolish. They have not known me. I have to read that. I have to read that in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 4. And I got to lay this foundation. I'm going a little bit off, but I got to lay this foundation here. In order for you to understand what's going on in the world, put things into the right perspective. Because once you understand the foundation of everything and where, you know, everything, where all the patterns started from, then everything will begin to fall in place. So we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter number 4, and I think verse number 21 will be fine. It says, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld, past tense, the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. That sounds an awful lot like Genesis chapter number 1 to me. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. Why? For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, because I have purposed it and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. So he's telling you what happened in Genesis chapter number 1, when the earth was without form and void. He took you back and said, my people knew this, but they forgot. And they're repeating the same process that caused God to desolate the place back then. What happened? Genesis chapter number 6. And the sons of God came in. They corrupted the DNA. They corrupted the temples of God. What are the temples of God? Know ye not that your bodies are the temples of the living God. So they had corrupted these temples. When he had taken these women as their wives, they corrupted it. And this same pattern repeats itself over and over. We see in Ezekiel chapter number 8 through chapter, I believe, number 10, where we see God had taken Ezekiel up into the spirit and took him into the temple. And he saw the priests worshiping Tammuz, basically, who was another version of Apollo. We see that they were worshiping these gods, these creeping things. That's what they represented in the house, the temple of God. They brought these things in and they worshiped the sun, who was Apollo. Some called him Baal. They worshiped them in the temple of God. They desecrated the temple. And what happened? God brought a desolation. And guess what he did? He put a mark on his people. But what was the mark of the beast at that time? We saw in the temple, we saw the same thing. We see the mark. We start to see a pattern. It was a mark of a beast that we saw in the temple of God. It caused God to desolate it in the book of Ezekiel. All right, so we're getting down to the point. I needed to lay that foundation just a little bit. And then some of the upcoming in the next broadcast, the next broadcast, we're going to get a little bit more in detail into what this has to do with the mark of the beast. We want to identify who this beast is, and we're going to get a little bit into that very briefly. Who is this beast? Who is this beast? He's the same one that caused the old world to become desolate, that world before Adam and Eve, that we see the Bible talks about in the book of Ezekiel chapter number 28. We're going to get into that and next week, and then also Isaiah chapter number 14. We're going to get into that next week also, where it tells you who this beast is, where he came from, who he was, what happened to him. We're going to see exactly what happened to him. He's basically a dead man, and we're going to get into that. We're going to discuss that a little bit further on next week. But we want to identify who this beast is very briefly. Brother Michael, he has something. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Remember that the abomination of desolation, we see the pattern. Again, in order to understand this, let me go back just a little bit, very briefly. Growing up in church, we hear a lot of theories about what the abomination of desolation is. A lot, the mark of the beast. We were taught that, there's going to be this mark. I just believe there was going to be this mark on your forehead or on your right hand. But we see in the scriptures that it actually, something made me think when I first caught this, where the Bible says that it's going to be in. That means that it's not going to be something that you will be able to see with your eyes. It says it's going to be in his right hand or in their foreheads. And not only so, it's not just going to be a mark, it's going to be the mark or the name or the number of the beast. So those are some things to think about. I'm not saying that I know it all. Again, this is just my Bible study, and I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear what you have to say. Will God reveal to you out of the scriptures? That's what I like to see. I want to build together. All right? So in the book of Revelation, chapter number 13, he's going to talk about is going to describe the beast. My computer is a little bit slow. Chapter number 13 and verse 1, and it reads, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." All right? So we're going to skip down to verse number 8 and read. 18. I'm sorry, I'm going to skip down to 18. And it reads, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So that's going to give us pause right here. Before we do anything else, we're going to count the number of the beast, because it directly here gives us, it's going to identify the beast for us, all right? All right, so with that in mind, I'm going to let Brother Michael here, he's going to count the number of the beast for us.
Yes. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to need you to follow with me very carefully when I say this, okay? Now, through my course of research, I stumbled upon this, okay? So I'm going to need y'all to follow me very carefully. So in the Roman numerals, every number has corresponding letters or numeral values. M equals 1,000, D equals 500, C equals 100, L equals 50, X equals 10, V equals 5, and I, or 1, equals 1. Now, if you add up all of these numeral values, you get 1,666. So if you take out the 1,000, which is the end value, you get 666, just like you see in the Bible. Now, this value corresponds with the name, which also appears in the Bible. Okay? So the Bible says, "Let him that have wisdom count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this number was written with Roman numerals. So this number, without the M value, had been written with D, which equals 500, C, which equals 100, L, which equals 50, X, which equals 10, B, which equals 5, and 1, which equals 1. Now listen. When you turn to the Bible in Revelation 9:11, it talks about Apollyon or Abaddon, the beast from the pit. He is also in your Greek mythology. The pagans worship him as Apollyon, the sun god. All of our planets, ladies and gentlemen, are named after Greek gods. Zeus is Jupiter, and the sun is Apollyon. Now, Apollo also has another name which corresponds with the Roman numerals. X, which equals 10, makes the Greek letter chi, which has the H sound. And you have the A from the Phi, or the V, which makes the A sound. The L, which is the L sound. The I, which is an E sound, omega, which is the O sound, and the C, which is the S sound. And that spells out Helios, who is also Apollyon, the beast from the pit. Our sun is also named Helios. That's where you get helium from, Helios. It comes from the Greek god Apollyon, who rose from the beast from the pit. He is the bisexual Nephilim that the pagans worship, the sun god. And if you want more ladies and gentlemen, you can refer to Gorilla 199 on YouTube. I stumbled upon this man, and he has a lot of information about this. If you want to do more research about it, ladies and gentlemen, once again, that is Gorilla 199.
That was some awesome information. That was some really, really awesome information. So basically that helps us to, the Bible says to calculate the number of the beasts, and that's what we just did. That number pointed to Helios, Apollyon, Abaddon. Why is this so important? What does that have to do with the end times and what we're talking about here? But you look in the book, and we're going to get into this next week. I also have Brother Daniel here. He's going to talk a little bit about the body of Christ, and he's going to have a broadcast upcoming as well. Apollyon, Abaddon, why is that so important? If you look just very briefly, just to give you a little bit about what we're going to discuss, Apollyon, Abaddon was identified with sun worship, ancient sun worship. A lot of the pagan gods that we hear, they might have different names in different cultures, but they all reference the same deity, really. Apollyon, Osiris, Baal worship, which was very prevalent as well. But all of those point to sun worship, the sun god, or have some aspect to do with the sun. And we see that all around in religion, in the house of God, we see this sun worship. It's very important because the Bible says is identifying this with the mark of the beast. What is a mark? A mark is something that sets you apart. It identifies you. It labels you to set you apart from something else. And if you want to, you can go ahead and you can look at you can do your own Bible search, because this is exactly what I did. I did a Bible search on the word mark. I just looked up mark, every reference in the Bible that contains the mark. What is the mark? And we see that Cain was the first to have a mark. And we see this mark all throughout the Old Testament, but we also see the mark of the beast throughout the Old Testament. And it has to do with the very nature of a thing. And what is the very nature of a thing? It gets down to the DNA. We're going to break it down a little bit further, but, you know, time is winding up here. You know, I urge you to do your own studies. I urge you to get into this because God took great lengths to have this written down for us, for our studies, for us to see, for us to understand, for us to know and be aware of what's going to happen in these last days. One of the studies that I want to do is going to be on the Book of Revelation. Putting it in perspective and just breaking it down, you know, the typology from what I believe God revealed to me. And again, it's an open study, so I'm willing to take all feedback, negative, positive, whatever you have to say, as far as, you know, as long as it comes out of the scripture. You know, show me some facts, show me some proof. That's what I'm about. So God bless. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. God bless. And Brother Daniel's going to come up and, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, what's going on in the body of Christ there on Facebook. It's going pretty good. I'm a member myself. I urge you to check in. We have some nice discussions there, a lot of open discussions, a lot of open studies there. So I urge you all to join that as well. Brother Daniel.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Just a little insight onto the next post that I'll be doing. Not the next, but actually the first one from the group that God led me to meet, the Body of Christ. You can join it on Facebook. It's pretty much an open group. The next post I'll be doing is just on law and grace, and basically breaking down what law is biblically and what is grace biblically, and the difference in the covenants. And that will be my next topic of conversation. We'll dissect it fully and thoroughly, using all scripture, King James Version. We might use a little Hebrews concordance and Greek concordance. But I'll have all that together for you when we do our next post. But I hope to see you during this next post. It's going to be awesome. Tune in if you can. I'll let you know on the Body of Christ when is the next post, the exact date. of this live radio talk show. Until then, be blessed.
Yeah, we definitely want you all to join in on the. We definitely want you all to join in on the discussion. This is not about. This is not about me. It's not about anybody here that you hear. We want to diversify. We actually need people to actually do broadcasts. You know, we're about the truth. We need ideas. You know, if you have, listen, I believe this is the way to go. You know, if you really try to, you know, the Bible says that, you know, our mission is to preach the gospel into the world, to all, you know, to all. You know, this is the gospel. It's not just about, you know, prophecy about what's coming. It's about, you know, that you can be saved from all of that. You know what I mean? You know, the Bible says that in those days that the people that do know their God are going to be strong and do exploits. You know what I mean? That means that through it all, through being beheaded and things like that, you know, the body of Christ is going to, you know, it's going to rise up. You know, it's going to do marvelous things. You know, God is going to do marvelous things, you know, through the body of Christ. And imagine all of the things that the Bible describes that this Antichrist is going to do, all of these lying signs and wonders that he's going to do. What do you think God is going to do? You know, when the Egyptians threw down their rod and Moses threw down his rod, what happened? His rod both turned into a serpent, and Moses' rod ate up their rod. So you know, look at Ezekiel. You know, he urged them to call down fire. You know, they made these. You know, they made their sacrifice. And Ezekiel made his sacrifice, and they called to their gods. You know, their gods couldn't perform, but they dumped water on Ezekiel's, on his sacrifice, and God brought down fire, consumed his sacrifice. So that just goes to show you what's gonna happen. You know, Satan gonna bring his best, but God is gonna outdo him every time. You know, we see these patterns again repeating themselves. You know, throughout the Bible. So, you know, I urge you to get into those patterns. You'll understand. God will open your eyes. God definitely will open your eyes. And don't take my word for it. Just look around. Just look around. The news will start to make sense. You'll see what's going on. You'll see the abomination of desolation being set up. You'll see the mark of the beast being put in place. You'll see it right before your very eyes. Right before your very eyes. You know, and again, I believe this is the way to do it. If you want to reach people today, you can reach them using the internet. I believe that. You know, with Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. You know, so people, let's do it, man. Let's get into it. Let's be about the Father's business. You know, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved until His coming. I pray that God guide your minds, your hearts, and your soul into the right direction. I pray that God forgive us of our sins. I pray that God help us to be strong. I pray that God help us to I pray that God just give us wisdom and understanding through all things, through all things, through all things. In Jesus' name, amen.